Well, hello and welcome again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs. I just said that, didn't I? ABCs of Christian Growth, and we're going back into our study of the letter R today. Brothers and sisters, I hope you're doing fine. I hope that you are glad in the Lord and that there's joy in your heart, that you are sincere and carrying through to the end for your Savior, for His glory and for His honor. You know, we serve the Lord because we love Him. We serve Him, and I say this with all reverence, we serve Him because we want to, not because we have to. The Lord doesn't make us serve Him, and He's not going to make us serve Him. If He wanted somebody to serve Him, He could make you serve Him. He could make you serve Him. Don't you doubt that. He's God. He's God. He's got the power to do anything He wants to do, and there ain't nothing too hard for Him, especially you and me. The reason the Lord wants to be loved is because He wants to be loved the same way you do. You don't want people to love you because they have to. You want people to love you because they want to. Amen? And we have a wonderful, kind, loving God that deserves to be loved and deserves to be glorified and deserve to be served by the ones that He died for and saved. Amen? We're going back into the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ specific. That's the topic that we're talking about under our study, our second study in the letter R of the ABCs of Christian Growth, and it's entitled Resurrection. The particular part that we're talking about now is the resurrection of Jesus Christ specific. I think we have one study involved in this part so far. We're about six lessons into this study so far. And just to recap just a little bit, the resurrection of Jesus Christ specific. Now, resurrection is very important in the Bible and a big topic. Not as big as the second coming, but a big subject in the scriptures that's talked about. Resurrection is something that man's been trying to get a hold of for a long time. Boy, if he could figure out how to make people alive, he'd make. You know what? If a man was to figure out how to keep somebody alive genuinely, to keep somebody alive and to let them live forever, you know what he'd do? You don't? Really, you don't know what man would do? Man would sell it. He'd market it. And he'd market it, and he'd make it hard for you to get, and then he'd ration it out, and he'd legislate it, and all this, that, and the other. You know what the Lord did? He gave it away for free. He gives it away for free. For absolute free. There ain't nothing in this world that is free except salvation and the Lord's gift. That is absolutely free. If you think there's anything else free, you're deceived. You're a nut because there ain't nothing else free in this world. Free is a stinking cuss word. It's a mockery. It's deceit. And I'm kind of sick of it, ain't you? Ain't you? I'm kind of sick of when people, it turns my eyes and my attention away right away when somebody says free. Oh, get this free. I ain't interested right off the bat. I'm not interested right off the bat. I'd rather pay for it. When it comes to man, pay for it. When it comes to the Lord, accept it. Accept it, because it is indeed free. It's free. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ made that possible. Well, the first thing that we talked about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection specific was characteristics of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Remember that? That it was foretold in the Psalms and it was presented in prophecy. The prophets talked about it. And it was announced by Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't make no secret about it. He didn't hide it in a corner. He told people He was going to resurrect and that He was coming back from the dead. He was going to die. Literally, really, really die. And then He was going to resurrect and really, really come back to life. Now, I don't understand that. I don't know how people die and come back to life. I ain't never seen it. I don't understand it. Once dead is dead. But how you make dead come back to life, that takes some different power than what man has any kind of control over, or what man can do. Man builds robots and messes around with genes and chromosomes and all kind of gobbledygook like that, and turns out making monsters. God says that he can make the dead live. I don't understand that, but I believe it. God said he could, and he did. He brought Jesus Christ back, and that's what we're talking about. He brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. Jesus' body come back to life. It was dead, and it come back to life by God's power. Now, how Christ's resurrection was accomplished, that's exactly what we're talking about right now, by the power of God. Only God has the power to bring something that's dead back to life. Man's going to keep on trying. He's going to keep on. He's going to come up with monsters and three-headed creatures and blabbity-blabbity-blab and all this, that, and the other, and just mess everything all up instead of just shutting up and leaving everything alone and believing God and carrying on and living in peace and understanding that God is right and man is wrong. Man's just going to keep on so he can have control and he can have something to sell somebody else and live a good life and all that blabbity-blab. By God's power and by Christ's power and by God the Holy Ghost's power, all three members of the Godhead, all equal in power, all equal in the authority, and all one God. How Christ's resurrection was accomplished. What else? Well, proofs of Christ's resurrection. That's where we left off on our last lesson, a few examples into this portion right here. Proofs of Christ's resurrection. Well, the empty sepulcher. They've not found the Lord Jesus Christ or his bones. Jesus Christ, you can look it up. And they got his name written down, and he was indeed a real person on the planet at one time in history, and it's proven. And everybody, you can prove that. You can prove it. You can prove it that he was a real man that lived really, really. I mean, you say you believe in Hitler. Do you ever met him? You ever seen him? Have you? Have you ever heard his voice right out of his voice box? Have you ever looked at him and him looked at you? No, but you believe he lived, don't you? Don't you? Well, yeah, okay. Well, there's proof that Jesus, the same proof that says that Hitler, and that's not in any kind of comparison with the Lord at all. Probably a bad one, matter of fact. But anyway, Hitler lived, and you believe that. There's proof that Jesus Christ, the man, lived. And he lived. And there's an empty sepulcher that he lived, he was crucified, he died, and he was put in the grave. But the sepulcher's empty now. They can't find him. You can find just about anybody else's bones if you dig deep enough. Anybody's bones that lived on this earth. Any human being that's ever lived on this earth, unless the Lord took him, like Enoch, and took him out of here, and you can find every person's bones that's ever been born of a woman. But you can't find Jesus's. They're not here. They're in his body that he's residing in. Up there sitting at the right hand of the Father at this very second, waiting to come back and get his bride. And I can't wait. Can you? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. An empty sepulcher proves Christ's resurrection. The angel's testimony. Remember we was talking about that? The angels sitting around and not sitting. Well, some of them were sitting. One was sitting inside and two were standing outside. And they told him, he's alive. Angel said it right out of their mouth. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for the dead among the, you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Go tell his disciples that he's risen and he's going to meet them in Galilee, just like he said. And they did. They met him in Galilee. They seen him with their own eyes. Well, another proof of Christ's resurrection is the enemy's lies. The enemy's lies. Man, people go out of their way to make things up against God and to create lies against God. They're still doing that today. still doing that today, go out of their way to try to make God look like a liar. But they don't. They can't. I mean, God's proof is concrete. It's nailed down. It's established. God's proof and God's truth is established, and man tries to manipulate it and make it look like a lie in every way that he possibly can. But the Lord said, no lie is of the truth. If you're gonna try, you can't make God look like a fool. God can't be mocked. And his enemies went out of their way, even gave great sums of money and talked a whole bunch of Roman soldiers that were facing death. I mean, it wasn't their fault that they were sitting there obeying and doing what they're supposed to do and getting a paycheck and guarding that tomb. They was told to do it. It wasn't their fault they was assigned to that tomb. And it wasn't their fault that they got to see God the Son resurrect and come out of that tomb. And that they seen the angel come down there and roll that stone away. It wasn't their fault they had to see that. And the first thing that they reacted was in worship. They put their heads to the ground like dead men, they said. The scripture says. And then they ran to go tell the religious people rather than the government. They went to go tell the religious people, hey, these guys are right. He come out of grave, man. And then all the God-fearing, God-loving, righteous preachers of the day, well-educated and highly documented and all blabbly blabbity blab, was the first thing they thought of. Well, how are we going to get around this? Let's get in the treasury and pay these guys and tell them to lie. That's what they did. That's what they did. His enemies' lies prove that he resurrected. If they didn't have nothing to lie about, then there wasn't nothing to lie about. If they didn't have nothing to pay, you think a bunch of religious folks in charge of the treasury are going to give away big sums of money? Do you really think that they're going to give away big sums of money if something really didn't happen that them soldiers said happened? I mean, it took a lot of money to shut them soldiers up because, number one, they were scared to death. Number two, they were scared of their government because, the man come out of the grave, and ain't nobody going to believe that. Them Roman soldiers ain't going to believe the dead come back from. They're not going to believe that. They're going to believe they messed up on duty somehow or another and kill him, put him to death. And you see how that thing's playing out? His enemy's lies prove his resurrection. Now, carrying on from there, in our study today, what else? Well, by many infallible proofs. You say, what do you mean infallible, Brother Thurman? Well, infallible. Well, that's the way the Bible puts it. It says, by many infallible proofs. In John chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When they saw the Lord. There's over 114 times in Scripture that Christ's resurrection is mentioned in Scripture. Do you think somebody that's lying is going to take the time to document 104 times in the same book, in the Scriptures, in different books in the Scripture about a man resurrecting from the dead, 104 different times about Christ's resurrection, one subject, about him resurrection, a resurrecting, and it being a lie? By many infallible proofs. Infallible is without possibility of erring or mistaking. It's unmistakable. It can't be, how do you put it? Certainly. It's certainty. Without the possibility of failure. Our Savior has directed us to conduct that will infallibly render us happy. whatever that was. I was trying to read an example of something of the definition of the word, but I didn't get that right. So let's just leave that one in the past. Certainty without failure. I mean, it's something that just is. It means the quality of being incapable of error or mistake. Entire exemption from liability to error. Inerrability. It cannot make or be an error. For instance, no human being can justly lay claim to infallibility. Don't you know that? If somebody stands up and says, I'm infallible, you just go ahead and laugh about that. Because we know human beings are going to err and that they're going to make mistakes. This is an attribute of God only. God only. Infallible. He does not make mistakes. And the scriptures describe the resurrection of Jesus Christ with many infallible proofs. It's not just unmistakable and without mistake and without error, but it's proofs that are unmistakable and without error. You can trust them. John chapter 20, that's what I need. I don't know about you. I need something I can trust. This world's so stinking lopsided, upside down, rattle-brained, as far as what truth is and what truth is not. I don't need a whole bunch of dummies out there that just blabbity blabbity blab telling me what truth is and what truth is not and mixing everything all up and stirring it all up and making me all rattled brain. I don't need that. I need truth, man. I need proof. I need something I can trust. And the scripture says that the scripture is infallible. It's without mistake. It's alive. And it talks about Christ's resurrection in an infallible way concerning the proofs of it. John chapter 20 and verse 27 said, Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. But believing. What else? Acts chapter 1 verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, in other words, his crucifixion and what he went through, and him wanting to win man back to his Father, win humankind back to his Father through his death and his sacrifice, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom that he had just established. Just established. Which is the church now. The kingdom of God, the spiritual things. Amen? By many infallible proofs. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Christ's resurrection. Proofs of Christ's resurrection. The empty sepulcher, the angel's testimony, his enemy's lies, and by many infallible proofs. What else? Well, the apostles' preaching. The apostles' preaching. I mean, after Christ resurrected and he went back to glory and ascended, the apostles went about doing something. You know what it was? Preaching. You know what they was preaching? They was preaching about his resurrection, that he come back from the dead. That's what got Paul in all that trouble, and them Sadducees and Pharisees following him around all over the country trying to get him killed and hiring hitmen and all kinds of stuff to try to get him killed and lying to a bunch of authorities and making Paul stand up before a bunch of courtrooms and give testimony. And he said, the only reason I'm here is because I say that Jesus Christ come back from the dead. That's the only thing I'm in question about here. And them people didn't know what to do with him. the apostles preaching. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33 says, And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They was preaching the Lord's resurrection. They knew he was alive. They spent 40 days with him and watched him go back to glory. And you don't think them rascals was preaching about Christ's resurrection? He's alive. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Listen to this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, talking about the first day of the week, the apostles preaching. And not only the apostles preaching that had power behind it, but we're talking about proofs of the Lord's resurrection. The Lord's Day, the first day of the week, has been established in the Scriptures, and it's talked about in many different places. John chapter 20, verse 1, when I just got through reading, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene cometh early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And then in John chapter 20 and verse 19, then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order, this is New Testament doctrine, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that every one of ye lay by him in store, not the Sabbath, the first day of the week, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Another proof of Christ's resurrection is not only the apostles preaching. They went about preaching the Lord everywhere and got themselves into people deliberately got them into some trouble because of saying about Christ's resurrection. And you go out trying to talk about Christ's resurrection, coming back from the dead today, you're going to bring trouble to yourself. It's just going to come to you, because this world hates Christ and it hates his resurrection. It hates the fact that he resurrected. It don't want Christ around. It don't want him resurrected. You see. And by the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day is still with us. They call it the Lord's Day. The first day of the week is what the Bible talks about. But that everything since the Lord's ascension and him raising from the dead has transferred from the Sabbath over to the first day of the week. The first day of the week. And that's still going on today. What's the first day of the week? Well, look at your calendar. Sunday. Isn't that when y'all gather together? Isn't that when you put your tithes back, which you should be doing? It says for you to put your tithes back. It didn't say carry them anywhere or do anything else. It said just put back how God's prospered you on the first day of the week. Excuse me. Now, what else? Well, by the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, that's proof of Christ's resurrection. That's still going on 2,000 years, man. That ain't enough to prove you that something keeps on and keeps on carrying on and carrying on and carrying on. And, well, nothing happened. Nothing, no proof there that this had anything to do with that. All hogwash. Poppycock. What else is proof of Christ's resurrection? Well, by people he appeared to and talked with. He talked to Peter. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he saith unto you. He talked to Peter personally with his resurrected voice. Luke chapter 24 and verse 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Simon Peter. This is testimony by Luke that says, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." In the book of Luke is where it's recorded that the Lord appeared to Peter and talked with him with his own resurrected voice. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 5 says, "And there he was seen of Cephas," which is Peter's name too, Peter, Simon, Cephas, all the same person, "then of the 12, talking about his resurrection. He said that Peter not only seen him in 1 Corinthians, but that he appeared to Simon in the book of Luke and then spoke to him. Who else? Not only Peter, but we're talking about the people that he appeared to. He appeared to Mary. Don't you remember in the garden? John chapter 20, verse 15. Now, either it's true or all this is just a bunch of hogwash, a fairy tale, very well documented lies and fables. Now, what do you believe? Huh? You think somebody's going to take the time to put this stuff down the way that God the Holy Ghost has put it down, and somebody could sit back and call all this infallible, perfect, inerrant literature lies? Not me. John chapter 20, verse 15 and 16. Of course, I don't have to read through this whole lesson to believe it. God the Holy Ghost bears witness in my heart that all this is true. And God the Holy Ghost has already taught me that Christ is resurrected. Christ himself has given me, saving me, and all the kindness that he's shown me in my life shows me that he's alive. Doesn't he, you? John chapter 20, verse 15 and 16 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence," talking about Christ's body, she didn't even know he was alive yet, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence," she just wanted the dead body, to honor the Lord and take care of his dead body. "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned unto She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Master. She knew his voice. Mark chapter 16, verse 9 says, "When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." Seven devils. So, Peter, talking about the people he appeared to and talked to. I mean, you going to call Peter a liar? Some people do. All these jokers running around talking about that God's Word has mistakes in it and all this foolishness that goes on, and people ought to be ashamed of that mess. They ought to be ashamed. They ought to shut their mouths and quit running them holes in their face when they ain't got anything intelligent to say. Especially about God's Word. By people, by the proofs of Christ's resurrection, by people he appeared to and talked with him. The Apostle Peter and Mary. Who else? Well, Cleopas. Cleopas. Luke chapter 24 and verse 18. The Bible says, not only in verse 18, but verse 30 and 31, it says, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" These two guys are walking, leaving Jerusalem and going somewhere, and they're walking, and Jesus slips in there beside them, and they don't recognize him. And they're talking, and Jesus is questioning them about this thing about what happened in Jerusalem, this big thing about these Jewish rulers getting the Roman government involved in killing this one guy that didn't do nothing but good, named Jesus Christ. And they stop off. And Jesus acted like he was going to go on and keep walking, but they said, listen, it's getting late. Why don't you come spend the night with us, and we'll give you something to eat and help you out, and you can be on your way in the morning. And Jesus did. They were sitting there at the supper table, and it said, it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them in their house. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. This is after the crucifixion. And they're walking along, and they know Jesus is dead. They know he's in the tomb. They're walking along, going to this place down this road, and they're talking about it. And little do they know, they're sitting there at dinner with him, and Jesus opened their eyes and give them the ability to see him and who he was, and it came to them, this is the resurrected Christ that is alive. And then he vanished from them. He vanished. Isn't that something? You don't think Cleopas and this other guy that was with him, you don't think they was telling about it? You don't think that's proof? That's proof. Two disciples, Mark chapter 2 disciples testified of it. Mark chapter 16 verse 12, it says, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's those two. He appeared in another form, the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, I don't know what that means, but it means another form. Maybe he didn't look the same. I don't know. I don't know. It just says another form. But he opened their eyes, and they knew him, that it was him at that dinner table. At that table when they were breaking bread together and eating, he opened their eyes and they knew it was him, and he vanished. I think it's neat. I think that's so neat. I think it's neat. I've been mad because he left. Two disciples. Who else? Well, Stephen. Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 5. He's seen him. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast in the heaven. Now, you think if you could do this, you're sitting there being executed, somebody throwing rocks at you, trying to bash your brains out while you're sitting in the middle of this circle, and these people are throwing rocks at you, and they're trying to kill you because these are religious folks trying to kill you because you testified about Jesus Christ and told them the truth about what they did, that they murdered the Son of God. And they got mad at you, took you out there and gathered around in a circle and started throwing rocks at you. And here's what Stephen did. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the Son of God, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. What a mighty Christian that man was. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He prayed for them with his last breath. If that ain't witness enough that he was actually telling the truth and seeing with his own eyes what he was seeing, what a wonderful thing, wonderful, wonderful thing, and wonderful testimony. Those hypocrite, stinking religious, hypocritical, God-hating reprobates standing around there throwing stones at a man that loved God and told him the truth. John chapter 20, verse 28 and 29 is Thomas. The Bible says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Which is good reason. I mean, that's good, Thomas. You see, believe it. But then the Lord said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's you. You see, we're going through here talking about Christ's resurrection and proof of it. Christ said that if you believe, he said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen and you believe. He said, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. You believe this stuff? I believe it. I believe it with everything in me. I know it's true, don't you? Stephen seen him. Thomas seen him. And then there's 500 people at once. 500 people. That's probably what? 50 churches now? I don't know. I'd be in smarty pants there, but that's just about accurate. 500 people. Used to, you could be able to go to a church with that many people. I don't know how a pastor can handle that many people at once, but the Lord gives some of them the ability to do it, and they do it, and they pastor them. But 500 people is a lot of people to be together at one time. Have you ever seen 500 people together at once? 500 people at once? Have you? Okay, then you know how many people that is. They all seen Jesus Christ at once, together, at once. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6 says they did. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep at the time of this writing, when this man wrote these words down and recorded them for us. There was a lot of them still alive. Some of them had fallen asleep, but it said the majority of them, the greater part of them, was still alive. That seen Christ after his resurrection. At once, all of them together. You going to argue with 500 people? Not me, I ain't going to argue with one. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's what we live by, folks. We live by faith. The reason you believe Jesus Christ is alive and resurrected is because God's Word says He is. And the more you believe it, it's like those guys sitting across the table when Jesus was there and He was in different form and they didn't recognize Him and they were eating with Him and they were just got through talking about Jesus being crucified and dead. In their minds, He was dead. But then all of a sudden, while they're eating, Jesus opens their eyes, and they see Him, and they know Him. But they didn't see Him until He opened their eyes. When you read that Bible, God the Holy Ghost opened your eyes to who Jesus Christ is, and you can see Him. You getting this? And you know Him. Except our Lord don't vanish from us. We never have seen Him. But you see him through spiritual eyes and through faith, don't you? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you know what the Lord says about that? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I ain't seen you, Lord Jesus. I see you through faith. Well, blessed are you for that. And I believe. And so do you. Who else? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's seen him. He's New Testament. He's the one brought in the gospel of the grace of God. Brought in the new covenant. He's the one the Lord used to bring it all in. Wrote most of your books in your New Testament. Acts chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Do you get that? For I have appeared unto thee. Do you get that? For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. I have appeared unto thee, which thou hast seen. And of those things in which I will appear unto thee. The Apostle Paul seen him. He's seen him. 1 Corinthians 15:8 says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Paul said, in case you don't believe the last thing I wrote about the road to Damascus, he said, let me just put it to you plain. After that, he was, at last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Who else? And we've already been through a mess of folks already, hadn't we? Well, what about James? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. It says, and after that he was seen of James. Is the Bible wrong? Is it lying to us? Is it false? It says, and after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. What else? His disciples, being assembled two different times, he appeared to them. Two different times when they were assembled. This is after he was dead. And he showed himself to them two different times while they were assembled. John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Resurrected, the Lord Jesus Christ, come back from the dead, stand there talking to him. John chapter 20, verse 26, and after 8 days, 8 days what? After that first time he appeared. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. Old Thomas, poor old Thomas, he said, I ain't going to believe it in that. He said, man, I'm so, I got a heart for Thomas. Thomas, man, he'd been through so much. He watched his Lord get beat to death and was so mad because he knew the Lord and loved the Lord and the Lord was right and everything about him was right. And then he was probably mad at the Romans and mad at the Jewish hierarchy, the religious folks for getting him killed. And his Lord is dead and he don't know what to do now. And he comes in there and all the other ones talking about he's alive. He said, man, you're trying to fill my head full of a bunch of garbage and my heart's been broken for my Lord. And all of a sudden you tell me he's alive. I ain't believing it until I can put my finger in his hand and stick my finger in them nail holes in his hand and in that sword slash in his side. And the Lord said, come on, Thomas. He showed up for him, didn't he? And offered him to do that. And Thomas wouldn't even do it. He said, my Lord and my God. And the Lord said, because you've seen, you believe. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and believe, and yet believe. James seen him. His disciples, being assembled two different times, seen him. What else? His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself to them. John chapter 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. And I think that's when he cooked supper for them or something like that. He told them, bring, come and dine. I think that was the time. Could be mistaken, but the Lord cooked for them and fed them, made bread for them, told them, bring some of the fish and let's eat. After his resurrection, what else? Well, 11 disciples in the mountain of Galilee. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16-17 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And you can't be too hard on them guys. They done been through so much. And it's been 3.5 years learning from the Lord, and all of a sudden, and all the people that were against him and mocking him and all the wonderful things he did in front of them and just the goodness of the Lord and seeing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, they see that bloody death and that shameful way they entreated him and hung him up there naked in front of the whole world and beat him and stabbed him and pulled his beard out and slapped him around and put a crown of thorns on his head and drove it down into his skull. And I mean, all these things going on, and then all of a sudden the Lord shows up. I mean, you're talking about somebody in your family dying and breaking your heart and you mourning that and it really, really hurting you. Somebody you really, really love, and then they come back from the dead, and the 11 disciples went to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had pointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You can't be too hard on them people that doubted a little bit, you know, because, I mean, they're thinking, man, it's hard enough for me to get through what I've already been through, loving my Lord and everything else, and then some joker standing here saying he's Jesus. You can't be too hard. I believe they come through it. They seen him and they got close to him and they found out it was him and they rejoiced. But you can't blame them too much for that doubting right away, right at that time after all they've been through. But we don't have to doubt him. We got his written word. And it's all by faith, folks. We believe that book. And don't let anybody talk you out of that book. Don't let anybody tell you that book is not infallible and inerrant. It lives. It's alive. Those words are alive. They're God's words. And he left it that way and made it that way and wants it that way. And he wants us to learn and study and show ourselves approved unto him and read that book and study and learn it and know the mind of God and wait on his Son, our Lord, that we believe in, that we trust, that's alive, that has saved us and going to give us eternal life and has promised to come and get us and take us where he's at. That's our hope. And has forgiven our sins, and not only forgiven them, but taken them away. Washed us clean. Every time we confess our sins, that we sin, he cleanses us. He forgives us every time and cleanses us and washes us and makes us clean and helps us to walk clean before him and never leave us nor forsake us. And all this by faith. Faith is not hoping it's real. Faith is just doing it without seeing it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's all. Okay? His disciples at Tiberias. 11 disciples in the mountain of Galilee. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about resurrection. We're talking about proofs of Christ's resurrection. And so far today, we're talking about infallible proofs. We're talking about Christ's resurrection being mentioned 104 times and scripture. That should be enough to prove it to anybody. But the apostles preaching by the Lord's day, the first day of the week, by people he appeared to and talked to. He talked to Mary. Mary would testify to you right before your face right now. I talked to him. I seen him. I fell at his feet and held his feet. Cleopas. Two disciples, Stephen, Thomas, the Apostle Paul, James, his disciples that were assembled two different times when they were in the upper room. When Thomas doubted the first time, or wasn't there the first time, and was the second. His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. 11 disciples in the mountain of Galilee. Is there any more? Yes. His disciples at the Ascension. Can you imagine him standing there and you know he's back from the dead, but you got no idea he's fixing to leave? And he probably didn't tell nobody he was fixing to leave and go back to the Father, except for just before he went. Because they'd already seen him die and lost him once. And how you going to prepare somebody and say, I'm fixing to go away and you can't come right now? But here's what I want you to do for me. And then watch him leave again. You can imagine what these people went through. All we got to do is wait on him. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. When you get born again, he comes in you in the person of God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, and dwells in you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he's not going to. And we learn from him, just like we're doing right now, out of his book and his words. And we walk, and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. His disciples at his ascension. Luke chapter 24, verse 52, it says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I've been crying like a baby. The Lord leaving me again. Don't go, Lord, take me with you. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. His disciples seen him at the ascension. Proofs of Christ's resurrection. Really, 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 really. How about some other women? Matthew chapter 28, verse 9 and 10, it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, talking about the women that were running to go tell his disciples that he wasn't in the grave. He was gone. The angels told him. And they was running. And Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And don't you know they tore it up, boy. Went down there and told him. And then finally, all the body of Christ since his resurrection. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, listen to this. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And you can say the same thing. We walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Do you know who you believed on? Do you know that you and I and all the rest of us that claim Christ and have believed on Christ are talking about the same person, and none of us have seen him? Not with our eyeballs. That's why y'all be careful about all these folks saying they've seen Christ. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What have you committed to Christ? You've committed your trust in him and his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. You've committed your trust to him that he's going to bring you through all this mess. And he is, isn't he? He's already giving you evidence by God the Holy Ghost indwelling you and by the power of this word that we're studying right now. And am I right? Yes. All the body of Christ since his resurrection testifies that Jesus is risen from the dead. How are you going to argue with 2,000 years worth of folks saying that one man, the same man they all believe in the same man and nobody's ever seen him. That ain't proof enough for you. I'm tired of people trying to prove anything to me. I believe on Christ because I want to believe on him, and I know he's real, and I'm going to believe that whether you do or whether anybody else does or not. I'm fully committed to it. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And it's just like a woman said one time, and a preacher told her and said, what if all the things that God's taught you are wrong, are a lie? And she said, they ain't wrong. He said, but just supposing, what if they are? She said, well, he's got more to lose than I do. I just die and go to hell. But he loses his good name. God's not going to lie to you and tell you things that are untrue. And don't you listen to these jokers and these idiots out there that are talking about God's word being messed up, because it ain't messed up. It's perfect. And quit listening to them. Don't even give them the time of day. Let them go off and babble and blubber and blibble and blubber 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 everywhere else and blubber somebody that'll listen to all that trash. They're trying to steal your faith, and it's devil's behind it. God don't want you doubting his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not the originals. The original autographs. Ain't no such thing as original autographs. Nobody can pick them up and put them in front of you and show them to you. That's a bunch of fairy tale garbage gobbledygook. God gave you a copy of his word. You believe it and you stick to it and you stand on it and you die with it. And the Lord will back them words up for you. And he always has and he always does, and he's doing it right this very second, isn't he? Praise his wonderful name. Resurrection. Proofs of Christ's resurrection. All right. Well, what have we talked about so far today? We're going to stop right there. How about that? We're talking about many wonderful proofs. We begin this thing talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ specific. We talked about the characteristics of Jesus' resurrection. And then we talked about Christ's resurrection, how it was accomplished. And the power and God's power and Holy Ghost power and the Lord's words himself. And then we have been on the subject or the truth of his resurrection concerning proofs for the last two lessons. And one being the empty sepulcher, the angel's testimony, the enemy's lies. Many infallible proofs, like what? Well, the apostles preaching by the first day of the week being established that you live by now or that you believe and trust that God's word says about by people he appeared to and talked to. Like who? Well, here, how about this? The apostle Peter, Mary, Cleopas, two disciples, Stephen, Thomas, above 500 at once, the Apostle Paul, James, the disciples that were assembled together two different times, the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, 11 disciples in the mountain of Galilee, his disciples at his ascension, and lots of other women, some of them all at once, and all the body of Christ since his ascension. And if that ain't enough, we could probably dig some more up. But it is enough, isn't it? Praise his wonderful name. We're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters. We're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today, okay? You ready? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God's word wonderful? I love being encouraged by God's word. It just gives you joy in your heart. And the more you read it, the more it just nails things down, doesn't it? Don't you let nobody talk about God's word around you. Here's the first scripture for today, and here they are. John chapter 20, verse 20. Excuse me. John chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, Mark chapter 16, verse 7, Luke chapter 24, verse 34, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, John chapter 20, verse 15 and 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Going too fast for you? Luke chapter 24, verse 18 and verse 30 and 31. Mark chapter 16, verse 12. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56 and 59 and 60. John chapter 20, verse 28 and 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Acts chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 26. John chapter 21, verse 21, John chapter 21, verse 1, and then Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 and 17, Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 50 through 52, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Matthew chapter 28, verse 9 and 10, and the last one for today's study is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. Those are all the scriptures that we've been over today, proving Christ's resurrection. Proving Christ's resurrection. And all the folks that say he's alive. He's alive. We don't have to be told that, do we? We believe it. We believe it. And we go believing. Praise his wonderful name. Well, that's all for today, brothers and sisters. We're going to get into more of this, talking about Christ's resurrection specific, and we'll begin on our next study with the order of appearances after Christ's resurrection. The order in all the Gospels put together as a path of who seen Christ first, who seen him second, who seen him third, and on and so on and so forth. The order of Christ's resurrection according to the scriptures, according to the gospels, okay? And then we'll talk about what Christ's resurrection proves. All right? Well, the Lord bless you. I love you with Christ's love, and thank you. God bless you for serving the Lord and disciplining yourself and just doing what's right. This is Brother Thurman with ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.